Baby, I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you. You're the only one I care enough to hurt about. Maybe I'm a crazy, but I just can't live without your loving and affection, giving me direction, like a guiding light to help me through my darkest hour. Lately I'm a praying that you'll always be a staying beside me. Used to be my life was just emotions passing by, feeling all the while I never really knowing why. Lately I'm a praying that you'll always be a staying beside me. Used to be my life was just emotions passing by, then you came along and made me laugh and made me cry. You taught me why. Baby, I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you. Oh, it took so long to find you, baby. Baby, I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you.
Well, welcome to the situation report for Monday, October or November 18th. And that's little Brad. I've played some of their stuff, some of the catalog. That's Baby, I'ma Want You. That's a good song, man. That's a damn good song. That whole catalog is amazing. And rarely gets played anymore on the radio. You never hear it. So I was going to play another one. I'm like, let's get into it. Definitely quiet. And, you know, aside from the World War III missile BS, which I think is a psyop, it's a bunch of BS. I think it's too quiet. And I think that there's a lot of contrived consternation around Trump's cabinet picks. Look, here's the deal. I sound like Ross Perot. Look, here's the deal. They have to be confirmed. And I think it's a show because Trump knows he can't get him confirmed. And the only way he's going to get him confirmed is he's got to do recess appointments, right? So they could recess Congress for an hour and this could be done. But the truth of the matter is, evidently, the truth of the matter is that full stop Mitch is not going to allow any appointments. Well, I wonder why. Maybe it's because his wife owns a Chinese shipping company and he's been committing treason for over 40 years since he's been in office. And he knows if any of these appointments actually go through and they clean out the Justice Department, they clean out the FBI, that his goose is cooked and he doesn't want to spend a day in jail. So my advice to full stop Mitch is, you know, take matters into your own hand and take one for the team. Better yet, go line your pockets with the wrenches and walk out in the ocean and take one for the team, because the world would be better off without you or Bill Gates in it. So I don't think this Russia thing is going to be anything more than a nothing burger. And I think it's distraction for two things. Number one, they're still trying to steal the down ballot in Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona. So I think it's distraction for that. Because remember when George W. was in office. Every time that guy would make a mistake, the Department of Homeland Security would come out. We don't know where. We don't know when. We don't know how. But there's an imminent threat to the country. And the press would drone on about that nonsense for like 4 days. And they would be like, all right, next. Then we go back to the Iraq war. It's the same shit, different day. Same, it's the same game, exact same game. Every time something happens, boom, aliens, boom, threat. It's always the same game. So don't get wrapped up in that. So what are you gonna do anyway? You're not gonna know that you're not gonna know the bombs are on the way until they hit us anyway. So just live your life. Jeez. But look, they haven't allowed UK to release their missile systems, which have longer range. So good luck with that. I don't see that being anything other than a massive psyop. That said, there's a couple of things that I need to respond to. So over the weekend, my email and my phone were blown up because there was altercation between a couple of folks on the team, and I had already, before any of this stuff happened, I had already decided to forego the round table for a while. And my phone blew up this weekend because a lot of people want the round table back. Look, I don't have a staff of people to manage all of the egos and the divas and all the head games and all the other stuff, right? You put a bunch of alphas in the same room and they're going to bump chests and they're going to scream at each other and throw plates and fight. That's just how it goes. My problem is I don't have the time for it. And I don't have the time to herd cats to try and get people on a regular schedule. And it just, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. So I had already decided when all this happened that I was going to cease with the roundtables anyway. Mainly because if there's nothing going on, a roundtable is just a bunch of guys talking about what they think anyway, right? So if there's something going on and we can add value, we'll do another roundtable. But for now, I think all of us, including guys doing other shows, this need a break. Everybody smoked. And I don't know if you all could feel the energy, but everybody took a big sigh of relief after the election. And I'm going to remind everybody that we are probably in a more dangerous time right now than we were before the election. And I want you to think about how much the election changed the psyche of everybody in this country. Prior to that, what did we expect? We expected them to cheat. We expected them to steal the election. And we expected them to create some kind of violence to justify martial law and mass arrests. All the rhetoric supported that. And I mean all of it. They were talking about doing away with the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, building all the apparatus for the social scoring system and net zero, hamama. And then overnight, all that stopped. Literally overnight, it all stopped. And the bigger point here is that should be a red flag for everyone. Because what it tells me is that they're just changing tactics. It's the same game with different players. And I want to put something in front of you about this DOGE, Department of Google Executives, or Department of Government Efficiency. So we already have a massive bloated bureaucracy. So what's the solution to that? We build another massive bloated bureaucracy to monitor the bureaucracy we already have. Isn't that what the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau was supposed to do with the financial markets and with the credit markets? Isn't that what it was supposed to do? Protect Americans? And it has absolutely no oversight. And the president has no authority to do anything except choose who's going to run that place. And the Supreme Court didn't even call it unconstitutional. And what does the CFPB really do? The CFPB goes around to all these companies. If you wonder why companies go woke and they run themselves into the toilet, there's a very simple answer for that. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau is a bunch of thugs set up by a mob boss, Elizabeth Warren, a And their whole job is to go around and muscle companies to adopt their agenda and push their agenda. That's their whole mission. They don't do anything else. And now we're going to create another organization with no congressional oversight called the Department of Government Efficiency. What do you want to bet that they're going to use AI to figure out who needs to stay and who needs to go from the government? What do you want to bet that they're going to leverage a significant amount of AI resources to determine which parts of the government can be reformed and which parts can't? And then what would you like to get, you know, wager a guess on that we continue to operate without dismantling any of the censorship apparatus and that we continue down the road of 2A and free, you know, First Amendment and Second Amendment abolishment at some point? Because I don't see what Vivek or Elon are going to bring to the table that's going to be anything different than what we've seen from the CFPB. It's just another group of rich assholes doing shit to enrich themselves. And oh, by the way, they don't need to be confirmed. And if I remember right, there's like over 1,200 positions in the government that have to be confirmed by Congress, including general officers. So you're going to put two billionaires in charge of government efficiency, and you're supposedly going to cut $2.2 billion out of the government budget. And then on top of that, and by the way, there's two kinds of spending that the U.S. government does, discretionary and non-discretionary. Non-discretionary is things like veteran stuff, Social Security, and all of the entitlement programs that, you know, help all of the, let's just say, homeless or any of the less fortunate. But the big one is Social Security. Social Security's fucking bankrupt. They took the money out of that years ago. And Jack Cruz was right. The 401k system, the government, but people are all up in arms about the DOD losing another $2.2 billion. They changed the books under FASB 56 almost 6 years ago. And they took away accountability and transparency from the federal books. So it's all smoke and mirrors anyway. So what I'm leaning towards here is we have to be very, very mindful of the fact that it's very possible that Getz won't get into office, that RFK won't get into office. And I can tell you behind the scenes that the pharmaceuticals are going to be throwing huge money to keep RFK out of office. And this the real test is going to be if Trump replaces him with somebody that's got the same set of stones. I will tell you that I don't think he will. And I'm also going to say that if he doesn't follow through with the things he talked about, he's not only going to have a revolution on his hands, he is going to be despised by the American people. Because people are putting a lot of faith into not only his cabinet picks, but what they're going to do. And there's a lot of conjecture around it. Here's the bottom line. He has to get them through confirmation. And if you have half of the Republicans that are supposedly in the majority that aren't going to support him, none of those are going to happen. And you're going to see the same shit like Bill Barr or one of those other swamp creatures come to town and nothing will happen to DOJ. And I guarantee you the American people will go off the fucking rails if that happens. Because I can tell you that's what most people are pre-positioned to, given all of the things that we led up to for the election. People were ready for a fight. Ready for a fight. And you think that's gone away? My point of that is that this could be smoke and mirrors too. Yeah, all these picks could be just smoke and mirrors for Trump to go, see, I couldn't get him through. I'm trying to change things, but here's the people who need to go away. And, you know, I hope for Trump's sake, he does follow through. he recesses Congress, and then Vance takes over Congress, and they have the vote, and it's done. Because the American people want to see real justice this time. They don't want to see fake justice. They don't want to see the sacrificial lamb. They want to see people cuffed, perp walked, tried, and in some cases executed. That's what the American public wants to see. And it's not for some morbid, you know, curiosity. It's because these people committed crimes. Everyone in DOJ associated with January 6th committed treason, including those in the FBI that instigated it. The Fed's erection. All of those people need to be rounded up. Every last one of them. And that is a non-negotiable for the American people. Now, I have to laugh because there was some pretty funny things that happened this weekend. So everybody, it's no secret that I despise 107. I despise Charlie Ward. I despise that whole group of malcontents, Gene Decode and all those other hopium peddling retards. So somebody sent me a video today. I don't know if they posted it. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was priceless. Literally 1 minute and 56 seconds into this video, Charlie Ward says, yep, the quantum financial system was a psyop by the White Hats because of BRICS. And he said it so casually and nonchalantly. And I'm like, boy, there's going to be some really pissed off people about that one, because that guy went on for at least 6 years talking about quantum financial systems right around the corner. I'm helping to manage it. My favorite line is, I signed an NDA. Really? Who'd you sign an NDA with? What kind of non-disclosure? What organization on this planet would sign an NDA with you? You know, Joe Grifter in the middle of BFE Spain, which, by the way, is where all the grifters migrate to so they can escape prosecution, that specific area. And, oh, by the way, why would anybody seek you out and have you run the quantum financial system? Really? I mean, the guy's got like 250,000 people following him. And I'm like, I got nothing. And, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years, and I've made some wildly inaccurate predictions, some wildly inaccurate, you know, assessments. But wow. Wow. And then there's Gene Decode. That guy, he's Mr. Dumbs, the deep underground military bases. And I listened to the first 2 minutes of conversation. I just had to chuckle. I'm like, yep. They got outed. So now they're calling it a psyop, and they're going to lead all these people down the road. I didn't hear MedBeds in it, but I didn't listen long enough to find out for sure if it was there. But man, what a cluster. I mean, for 5 years, this guy droned on about the quantum financial system. And I don't hear anybody on Wall Street talking about that shit. Why? And what kills me is Luongo's dialed into the financial system, and so is Crater. Do you ever hear those guys talking about any of that nonsense? No, because it's not real. You would think that they would get it if the big banks were talking about it. No. Still too funny, though. But I just want to caution everybody, though, that we are in a very dangerous time, and you shouldn't let down your guard. You should be you should use discernment on everything you see. Because look, the censorship apparatus hasn't been taken down. The people running the censorship apparatus have not been taken out of social media. They're still pressing ahead full speed. And there's still roughly 60 days before the election. And we have to, Trump has to get in office. And do I think they're going to do something? Potentially. Supposedly, the internet line that connects Germany and I believe it was Norway was cut today. and or severed is the way it was put on Twitter. And there was mass shooting in Louisiana yesterday. So there are things happening, but it's just not getting the coverage. And that brings me to the coverage. It brings me to the mainstream. I watched in disbelief today at the complete and utter change of tone and of dialogue and rhetoric from Morning Joe. Those two have been the most prolific spreaders and gaslighters in the entire industry. And they supposedly went down to see Trump over the weekend to make amends and talk to the man instead of talking about the man. That is not how the game's played, folks. These people do not capitulate like that. These people are not. Let me just put it this way. Have you ever been around somebody so narcissistic they can't hear the phone ring from space? Like my ex-wife, I could leave the room. She'd be talking about herself. I would leave the room and go to another room and come back 10 minutes later, and she would still be talking about herself, and she didn't even know I was gone. That's these kind of, that's who these two people are. Completely narcissistic, entitled, self-aggrandizing, complete and total narcissist. And they suddenly had a change of heart. Trust me when I say this. There is no fucking way that that ever happened. Not on your life that happened. They were told to stand down. And more importantly, that should be a massive red flag for everybody that the mainstream, and this isn't because they've lost viewers, because they are propped up by the state, the deep state, by whatever you want to call them, by the elite and the establishment. Their numbers have been tanking for years. And this isn't one of those times where they had a revelation that they lost to alternative media. This is a change in tactic. And watch them very carefully to see what they do next. Because this should be very reminiscent to after 9/11. Go back to 9/11 and look at all the coverage after 9/11. It was basically the press throwing softballs at everybody in the establishment to pave the way for them to take us to war. And this is the exact same shit. You know why I know that? Because I wrote a lot of this shit. And I know exactly the narrative that they're going after. So you mark my words, they're going to be conciliatory. They're going to be complimentary. They're going to skirt the line with their audience, but they're going to make it known that they support what Trump's doing. And they're going to be non-critical. Oh, it's disgusting. Watched all that shit during 9/11 when people should have been asking the real questions. And one of them was, so Mr. Bush, Mr. President, where exactly are the pink elephants buried in Iraq? You know, the weapons of mass destruction, because before the American people are going to go rush over there and occupy a country, it'd be good to know where they are. And that would have taken the wind out of his sails. But no, what did we do? We sent Colin Powell to the floor of the UN, lying his ass off. And that whole narrative was supported by the mainstream media. You're watching that right now. You're watching that exact messaging going on right now. They're doing the exact same thing. And here's why I think they're doing that. I think there's two scenarios or three scenarios that come on the other side of this. One of them is a war with Iran, or worse, a war with Russia. And the second one is we do something with China, whether that's conflict or economic conflict. And we have a lot of Chinese troops on our soil right now. So either one of those could be a kinetic situation. And look, I'm hopeful that it doesn't go that way. But Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the comments. I'm hoping it doesn't go that way, but you never know. And I don't see them pulling away from the social scoring system. The red flags for me is Elon Musk and Vivek. Those two guys are fucking snakes. I don't like either one of them. And I don't like the fact that all of a sudden Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos are trying to be, you know, moderates, if not libertarians. You don't change colors that fast overnight. And Mark Zuckerberg's a fucking alien, so I don't trust him at all. So yeah, all of these things, when you start looking at them, there's some massive red flags that right in front of us, and we haven't even got the administration yet. So however this goes, you should be ready for anything between now and then. Because, and look, the reason why I think the missile thing is BS is simply this. Russia's not going to take the bait. Putin is better off if he waits for Trump to take office. Then he can end Ukraine. He can take Odessa. He can occupy the Russian regions of Ukraine. He can pull back from the Dnieper River, and he can disarm and dismantle Ukraine. And he can share intelligence with the DNI on the bio labs of what they were doing with the evidence they took. And you know he's going to do that. I want to remind, I took a lot of heat for this, by the way, when I said this on the panel when I was on with Alex Craner and with Tom Luongo on Coffee and a Mic. Russia and the United States have a lot in common. And Russia does not want to be our enemy. Russia wants to be our ally. And Russia has been our ally before. During the Civil War, Russia was our ally and came to our aid. And Americans are not taught that. And it's been taken out of the curriculum because they don't want Americans to know the real history. And the other thing that I would throw out there is that it doesn't benefit Putin at all for any reason to start lobbing missiles into Europe or to conduct any attacks in the US. Because the guy he knows he can work with, the adults coming back to the table, are going to be at the table. He can sit down with adults and make deals. That is far more beneficial for him than burning the house down. And he knows it. Because strategically, at some point, he's going to have to turn his focus to China. And he's going to have to deal with China. And right now, they play nice. But China wants to own the world. And that's going to come to his doorstep at some point, and he's going to have to deal with it. And the other thing he's going to have to deal with is when he starts releasing some of the secrets and people figure out that all these vaccines and all these viruses came out of Fort Detrick and out of U.S. SAMRED, people are going to lose their minds, and he knows it. He would rather blackpill the American people and show them what was really going on and why he was so ardent about going into Ukraine. And that's more beneficial than any kind of a conflict. Because a conflict is waste for him. He doesn't want to waste his industry or his resources. He knows he's got a bigger fight ahead. And that bigger fight is going to be with 1.6 billion Chinamen. So when you look at the long game and you look at this blip in the road, you see that there's more beneficial opportunities for him if he just waits and takes the lumps. Now there might be some, you know, groundswell of public support to say we have to respond, but I think overall that response will be measured. And he knows as well as anybody else that the system of governance in the West has to be dismantled. And there can't be just, in, you know, people that are internationally sovereign. Somebody responded to me on Twitter today. I posted a post about Bill Gates. And I said, somebody tell me why this guy's still walking free. I love some of the responses. I wrote something about these. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you guys see the Nazis that were supposedly the Fed boys that were marching? I think it was in Columbus, Ohio over the weekend. They're all wearing black and swastikas. Looks like the Patriot Front in black. Anyway, I had a shill respond to me. It's too funny. People just lose their mind on Twitter. It's fantastic. I love trolling people on Twitter. It's fun. But I was asking about Bill Gates, and somebody responded to me. Looking for the response right here. It was a really interesting response. It's something I hadn't heard. I wanted to find out if it's true. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. I said, why is Bill Gates still walking free? And this guy responded to me and said, I can answer your question. More than likely, he's a member of the Sovereign Military Hospitaller Order of St. John of Jerusalem, of Rhodes, and of Malta. They are an internationally sovereign entity based in Rome, founded in 1099. If he is a member, he may be internationally sovereign. Somebody find out if that shit's true? I've never heard of that before. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. This motherfucker runs around like he's above the law. And yeah, I don't get it. If I was president, I would have sent some teams after him long ago, like day one, like go roll this guy up. So, but yeah, the whole Nazi thing, man, you tell who the shills are. But it's more of the same stuff, right? We're seeing some of the same playbook, some of the same script. But we are in a dangerous window because of that. And the other, you know, the other piece of this is that if Trump's controlled by Israel, then it means we're going to have 4 more years of dealing with the Iran stuff. And there's going to be at some point some kind of a push to get people to go and fight Iran, which we don't want. More importantly, the Russians and the Chinese are behind Iran, so we don't benefit from that. Plus, here's the reality. We can't fight a war right now. Military is decimated. Military industrial complex is decimated. Our strategic war stocks are depleted. We are not in a good position to fight right now. And with all these foreign military age males on our soil, we have to keep our focus right here, because that's exactly what they would like to do, is get our focus overseas and get bogged down in a war where we're losing and attriting more people. And oh, by the way, our birth rates are going down. So we're not replenishing the people we're losing, and they just come in and take over. That would be their ideal wet dream. And we can't allow that to happen. So anyway, I asked a question about some of these organizations that have been around in Europe forever and ever, because I don't know anything about them. And like any other organization that's that old, most of the time it's the old guys that are like just hanging out still. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to it. But I'm curious to see if it's real. Either way, he needs to be brought to justice, sovereign or not sovereign, above the law. I don't give two shits about that. You kill millions of people, you should go to prison at the very least. And he's done both. So, but as far as these, watching the chat, you guys crack me up. You guys are all over the place. As far as the cabinet picks go, though, don't get too wrapped up in the cabinet picks right now. He's still got to get them in office. He's still got to get them confirmed. And if he does that through a recess confirmation or through confirmation trials, you know there's going to be a ton of drama around it and a ton of BS. And the fact that they put a new majority member in the Senate to replace Mitch McConnell before Trump's even taken office should tell you that they're going to try and block everything he's putting in place. The swamp's not going to allow him to do anything other than status quo. And see, this is the part that none of them get. Especially this is the part that the mainstream media doesn't get. They've lost the cultural narrative. The American people are never going to sign up for any more of their narratives. They're done. That ship sailed almost 5 years ago. And every single time they try and do something where they use the old playbook, everybody calls it out. Literally that almost within minutes it happens. So, it's been interesting to watch the disruption of their information operations campaigns. It's been very interesting, especially considering the fact that, everyone that, especially I was watching, somebody sent me The View today, and they were going after the fact that the Morning Joe crew, that they're opportunists, they're seeing the change in seas, they're trying to position themselves to stay relevant, blah, blah, blah. Look, the reality is mainstream media is dead, and Trump pronounced it dead when he came into office. And in 2018, the alternative media crowd took the cultural media and they haven't gotten it back. And that in and of itself was the key to victory in a lot of different areas. One of the places that we are continuing to dominate the mainstream media is in debunking the gaslighting and the lies. The mainstream media literally didn't think that alternative media didn't have the reach that it does. In fact, I have like 3,000 or 5,000 viewers on Rumble that are subscribers that follow me on Rumble. I know that number's way higher than that because I look at what I'm doing for podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And, those numbers are, 14,000 views just in the last 30 days, 14,000 downloads. That's just for the month of October and November. And my point is people are looking outside of the mainstream for information. And the problem with that is there's so many people that are doing different shows, or they've got specific audiences, et cetera, et cetera. So until we get a consolidated source of truth, which is what I think they're trying to do with Sean Ryan, with Tucker Carlson, with Joe Rogan, they're trying to turn them into the trusted sources, right? I think the days of the newscasts, I think those are pretty much over. It's going to be really point stories that blow up on feeds like Twitter or True Social or Gab. That's where the real news is going to happen. And each one of those platforms offers different capability to influence the public. But the important thing about it is that when you're trying to shape public opinion and you're trying to move the needle towards acceptance of something, you have to blast it across every single medium, and it has to be consistent. So go back to January 6th. What was the one thing that they posted on every pundit, every news station, every social media influencer that was controlled by the elite? What did they do? They used one word over and over and over again, and that was insurrection. They used it on everything. They used it in every broadcast. They used it in every single publication. It was printed everywhere. Why do you do that? That's influencing operations. You're influencing the public to accept the fact that your narrative of this being an insurrection was true. The problem was, by that point, a good portion of the population didn't believe the mainstream media or trust any of the politicians. And that led us to where we are now, to where the mainstream media and politicians are trusted the least in our society. Politicians are at the absolute bottom. And that's given rise to alternative media. And it's given a voice to guys like me that I wouldn't have had a voice before. And it's important because now what needs to happen is there needs to be definitive streams of information from different groups that people can access without filters, without shadow banning, without any censorship, so they can get real-time information. Because there are a lot of journalists out there doing really good work and writing stories about things going on. Tracy Beans is one of them. She's done yeoman's work on a number of different topics. So is James O'Keefe. So have a few others. And most of the guys at Revolver.News, I would say they're the real news now, because they report things. And I'm not saying Gateway Pundit, because Gateway Pundits had to retract a bunch of things because they posted a number of things that weren't true. At least they retracted them, right? And then you have the Washington Pundit, Dr. EC and that whole crew, that they source everything they print. And they do yeoman's work to push out content that they can verify and back up. That's what we need now. And that's where this has to go in order for 4 years of Trump to succeed. And the part of the mission moving forward is going to be regalvanizing, rebuilding the news streams so people get reliable information about everything going on across the planet. Not this American-centric view that we were stovepiped into after 9/11. And all of that has to happen in the next 12 months, which means all of the apparatus that was built during COVID has to be dismantled. And that's going to be Herculean to do that. But it can be done. I know I've shut down data centers in months. It doesn't take that long. If you know what you're doing, it doesn't take that long. And in this case, it's got to be the promotion, the verification, and then the overwatch of those entities to make sure they're not taken over by the intelligence agencies like the mainstream media has been. And then all of the January 6th detainees, they need to be given another day in court, or their sentences need to be declared. They need to be declared invalid. And then they need to be able to go after the federal government and the players that put them there. And I don't know how that's going to work, but that needs to happen on day one. Their sentences need to be commuted. They need to be let out, and they need to be given reparations for being wrongfully incarcerated. There's a lot of work ahead, and the elite are going to prevent as much as they can. They're going to delay, and they're going to try and obfuscate, etc. And this is why I say visualization is so important right now, because we have to create and set conditions for the entire American public to see what these people have really been doing in the background. And even if he gets one pick, let's say that's FBI and that's Cash Patel, at least we have one organization to start with, and then we can work our way up the ladder. But they all have to be basically burned to the ground and rebuilt. And I don't know about you, but I spent some time today visualizing how I want the military to look and what good order and discipline looks like and what, you know, kind of leadership change. Like, I don't want to see 500 fucking generals anymore. I was so sick of that bullshit at the Pentagon. You got 15 two-stars running around that don't have anything other to do than to fuck with people walking down the hallway because they don't have any forces assigned to them. I want to get back to a military where there's maybe 5 generals. And these guys are the best and the best of the best, and they're not politicians. They're fucking tacticians and general officers that are war fighters. See, the problem with the Army, when I joined the Army, was that the cannon cockers ran the army. If you had cross cannons, you were guaranteed at least 06. And then it was infantry, and then it was armor, and then it was everybody else. And it was literally, you could set your watch to it. In the Air Force, it was all the general officers were fighter pilots, then bomber pilots, then heavy pilots, then everybody else. And, you know, the missile ranks and the space ranks, they had their own general officers, but a lot of them were former pilots. And that, you know, the missile forces were always the bastard children when SAC went away. And that's the other thing I want to do away with, is all the sub-unified and COCOMs and all the other bullshit that we've set up around the world, because it's just created positions for people to do nothing. And there's a lot of more effective ways to apportion forces. And I want to collapse down out of fucking Europe. We don't need to be in Europe anymore. In fact, we shouldn't have been in Europe after World War II. We should have pulled back out of Europe. We should have pulled back out of the Pacific, and we should have focused our efforts on the Panama Canal and that region of the world, and kept our presence down there. And we should have taken care of Cuba long ago. I don't know why the fuck we didn't go into Cuba and just run all the communists out and start over. But it's like everything else. We have to look at it now and figure out what's the best way to make that happen. And it may happen organically. It hasn't happened on, 50 years, 60 years? So they're going to need a nudge. Either way you go, there has to be a change in leadership across the board. And there has to be a restoration. And that brings me to the other problem. And that's the health of America. People don't realize how insidious these jabs are. And hopefully RFK will go in, or I'd love to see Pete McCullough go in and take over HHS, because I know he'll bust heads too. I hope to see one of them, if not both of them, in HHS changing the way things are. Because as far as I'm concerned, the American Medical Association needs to be declared a fucking terrorist organization. They need to go away. And every doctor that has worked at the AMA needs to stand charges for fucking treason. Every single one of them. Those motherfuckers have done more damage to the health of this country than any other organization on the planet. And then we need to go after all the trusts and all of the old money and do away with all them, all their power structures, and get rid of all their relationships and incestuous relationships across the government as well as across the industry. There's there's a lot of work to do. But don't be lured and don't be fooled by the change in rhetoric. Don't be fooled by any of the window dressing or the head games or any of the bullshit that's played during any of these confirmation hearings. The thing to pay attention to is we are truly in a very, very dangerous moment right now for a lot of reasons. The biggest one I can tell you is the fact that if these people are really desperate, and some of them are. And by the way, I heard today too that Barack Obama and Big Mike have left the country. I'd love to know if that's true. But my point is, we're in a very dangerous time. And that's why I've been saying for the last three set reps, and you're going to hear me say it again, you should be 80% prepared 100% of the time, no matter what. No matter how calm it is, no matter how quiet it is, you should be ready to go. And you should be ready for anything and keep your head on a swivel. And I'm going to say this one more time. If you're not rolling heavy, you should roll heavy. Because I am. I'm not taking anything for granted. And like I said, if Trump gets into office peacefully, all his people are confirmed, and everything looks like it's going the right direction, I'll walk the fuck away from this in a heartbeat. But I don't see it going that way. And I said this to the guys in the round table. In fact, I'll just read it to you. I sent this out yesterday, I think. I think it was yesterday I sent it out. Because I really do. I, I have to say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I truly respect the guys in the round table. All these guys are, they're all patriots. And, you know, the thing that's great about it is that everybody on that crew that signed up is still there. They bring a deep bench of knowledge with them. And that's very, very hard to find. So I sent this out yesterday. I said, gents, I made the decision to shut down my Rumble cast after the inauguration. I'm making the assumption things will transition peacefully and there'll be no violence. For me, that's mission complete. I was never in this for notoriety or money. I've done this at my own expense to prepare the public for a conflict all of us assumed would happen. While that may occur, the mission of preparation is complete. I have no idea what's next for me or what I want to do when I grow up. I can say that whatever presents itself will be the right direction. If I'm asked to serve to restore the rule of law, I will do so. But only in a position that will have authority to take action. I would remind everyone that we're all brought together for a reason. I'm still unclear what that reason is, to be honest. I don't know. I do know that we have a deep bench of knowledge between us, and I want to maintain. I'm deeply honored to know all of you. I mean that sincerely. I appreciate everything that all of you have done to help prepare the public. I also appreciate the honest feedback and support to make the channel into a real platform. I'd like to think we were successful disrupting enemy operations. Remember, our strength is in unity. We should all be able to throw plates and walk out as a team and work together. There should be no infighting that we cannot resolve. Strong personalities will clash. That's part of the strength of us as a team. Keep that in mind over the next 2 years. Feel the same way right now. And I'm not just saying that to the guys in the roundtable, although those guys I talk to and I see all those guys in a different light. You know, you see them for an hour and a half every week. And I've had the pleasure as well as the fortune to talk to all these guys individually. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten and reached so many people had it not been for those guys jumping in and taking the leap. So, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, the team reached a lot of people. We've got a lot of people prepared. I'd like to say we have more work to do, but I really think now is the time for everybody to take a step back, continue to prepare, but also self-reflect and visualize what you want the future to look like. In every pause, because war is a marathon, every pause that you get, you take time to recover, regroup, rearm, reorient, and then reassess where you're at, and then make decisions and start planning again. That's where we're at. We're in that pause right now. And it is, you know, it may be a bumpy ride. It may be a calm ride. But all of us should be resetting right now and regrouping. So not saying that this is, you know, this is going to go smoothly and I'll be able to walk away in January. And by the way, I'm still on the fence. Somebody asked me today, I do have another Rumble channel. It's called The Way Forward. I may just shift and move away from doing situation reports and just focus more on gun stuff, you know, life hacking, things like that, things that people can use. I would say the other thing too is, and this is something that I didn't say to that group, but I'll say to this audience, if you don't have one of the One Team, One Fight shirts, now's the time to get them. I don't make any money off of this. This is pretty much it's like maybe a buck, but that barely covers the costs of this and all the other shit that you have to buy to do all this. So I'm pushing the shirts because I'd like to see more people wearing that One Team, One Fight shirt around. And plus the logo's kind of cool, not gonna lie. So, and again, that was a lot of audience members that helped that happen. In fact, Christy reached out to me and said, hey, I can help you with the image file that's all screwed up. And she spent a day doing that. And here we are. Now we have a kick-ass logo. And that One Team, One Fight doesn't just end when the show ends, right? That's a forever kind of thing. That's who we are. And that's what we are. And there really is only one fight. And that's the fight against the people that have oppressed this planet for the last 500 years. So that's my two cents at least. And, you know, I truly am honored to have worked with all these guys and to have had so many guys step up and give up their time to make sure that people could see that there's other people seeing the same thing they are. Because look, the biggest part of this is not doing the show. It's getting people to realize they're not alone and that there's other people out there that think the same way you do, that see the same things you do and want to do the same things you do and are not afraid, because courage is contagious. And that, more than anything else, is probably the most valuable part of doing this, is getting people ready for any contingency. Period. End of story. That's what drew me to this, right? Was to get people to wake up that they're being lied to during COVID. I mean, from the moment Trump walked down on that stage, I knew it was a lie. All of it was a lie. And, you know, all of us that have been doing this for over 4 or 5 years, they will tell you the same thing. We were crazy. We were conspiracy theorists. We were all these different things. And yet, when you get to the brass tacks of it, most of us were right about most of it. We didn't get all of it right, but we got most of it right. The stuff that mattered, we got right. And that's why I did this, not for any of the rest of it. Because I wanted people to realize just how badly they were being lied to. And we had some success. I'd like to think we had success disrupting enemy information operations to the point where they had to regroup. And I do know that there are a number of people outside of this group that parrot a lot of things that they heard both on the roundtable and on these sit reps. So the link for the shirts is in, it's in the description. It'll both be in description on RSS, and it's in the description for the show. So you can find it in both places. I posted every show since August. The link for Spreadshirt's out there. You can also get it through my website, which is republicarms.com. Republicarmament.com. Jeez, been a day. But you can get it there too and hit the swag button. And the only reason I haven't taken this in-house is that, you know, I can't stock that much inventory. So, but look, if you hear me say anything tonight, hear this. Don't let down your guard. I don't know what's coming at us. I'm not gonna make any more predictions about it. I just don't like what I'm seeing. It's too quiet. I don't like to change in rhetoric. That's not how the game's played. And most importantly, I don't like the fact that these escalations that we're seeing and all this other nonsense, it just says, you know, false flag to me. And I believe that's on the horizon. Whether that's here or overseas, doesn't matter. We're all going to be affected by it. And do I think they're going to try and do something to keep Trump out of office? Absolutely. Will they be successful? I don't know. Do I think people are going to prison for election fraud if Matt Gaetz and Kash Patel take over DOJ and FBI? Absolutely, I do. And trust me, I've let it be known to both camps, to the Kash camp and the Christy Noem camp, that If my name comes up, I'm willing to serve, but I'm only going to do it in a place where I can take action. Not going to do it, you know, behind the desk, talking a lot. I want to actually take direct action and do things. Because let's face it, those machines have to be forensically audited, every single one of them. They have to be audited. They have to be gone through to figure out where the back doors are. And the American public needs to see in total, by somebody who's not affiliated with Trump, what those machines are capable of doing. And that's my background. That's work I can do. I will absolutely do that work. So we'll see. But at the end of the day, the thing that matters is that we have, the country's come together now to send a resounding message. The country needs to stay together now. It's part of what I wrote to the roundtable team, is that disagreements and personality conflicts, they're going to happen no matter where you are. There's always going to be somebody you can't work with, somebody you don't like, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you figure it out and you move forward. I could tell you, there was guys I worked with throughout my career that I could not stand. But I worked with them anyway, and I did it for the sake of the unit or for the sake of the mission. And that's how everybody needs to view this. Because this is going to be, we're in a marathon, folks. This isn't over yet. They're not going to go quietly into the night. This is not going to be some, you know, fly-by-night deal where it happens and then everything's fine. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of work. And we're all going to be in it, regardless of where we are. We're all going to be involved in it in some way, shape, or form. So start visualizing how you want this country to look in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, because we're going to have to fight for it. And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to fight for it. So we'll see what the next few months bring. Let's see how things develop over the next few weeks. I'll be back on Wednesday with a situation report. Thursday, I'm being interviewed in my civilian capacity by Interface Magazine. I'm not sure when the article is coming out. When it is, I'll post it. And then I think I'm doing another show with Craner and Luongo in a couple of weeks. So I'll have to ask Mr. Ferris when he's going to host again. Until then, folks, God bless. One team, one fight.